Hello, Mzanzi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by WANEFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I am your host, Patricia Tembo. Welcome to episode 485. In today's episode, we're discussing the repo rate and what farmers need to understand to inform their investments and learning decisions. This episode is set to be informative and practical as we welcome Hutle Dube, agricultural economist at the National Agriculture Marketing Council. Welcome to Farmers Inside Track. We are very pleased to have you today, Hutle Dube.
Thank you.
Mr. Dube is an agricultural economist at the National Agricultural Marketing Council. Will you just expand on your scope of work?
My name is Buse Dube from the National Agriculture Marketing Council under the MAC division, which primarily deals with research. And under that MAC division, I specialize under the trade research. We focus mostly on market access in terms of understanding the agricultural trends in South Africa from exports to imports, understanding also how the domestic market can be supported, and also sort of delving deep into the export competition to make sure that our industries are more competitive at an export level.
I know that we're excited to have you on the podcast. Market access is a really hot topic among farmers and people looking to get into farming. You're going to inform our listeners a bit more about the repo rates in the context of farming, break it down for farmers who are maybe struggling to understand and how to apply what that means for their investments, their loans, everything. How does the repo rate impact interest rates for farmers taking loans to fund their operations or their business? How does the repo rate impact?
As a farmer who is interested in his farm, it's quite important to sort of follow up on such issues because the repo rate actually influences the interest rates at which banks can actually lend money to farmers. Such as when the repo rate increases most of the time, banks also tend to also increase their lending rates. And this actually makes it more expensive for the farmers in terms of the loans. And conversely, you would expect that when the repo rates sort of decrease, the lending rates may also decrease, which makes it much more easier for farmers to take loans. Let's say you had to borrow 100,000 from a bank, let's say to purchase farming equipment, and the repo rate is at 3.5. The lending rate might be 6%. And if your monthly repayment is approximately 1,116, just making an example, and if the repo rate increases to 4.5% from, let's say, 6%, the bank's lending rate might also have to rise to 7.5%, which would make your monthly repayment sort of maybe 1.2 thousand, which is quite high. So it does have an influence on the interest rates at which commercial banks lend money to farmers.
What is the interest rate that South Africa is supposed to be on? Is it a standard? And of course, ours is slightly higher than that. Maybe if you can explain how far off we are as South Africa in general in terms of interest rates.
Currently, most people did come to realize from the recent updates that there are actually improvements which were made. The exact statistics are there at States SA. But it is interesting to note that it's actually becoming much more better than it was. And this will have a positive effect on the production cost because, like I indicated earlier, when there are changes in repo rates, this also affects farmers in terms of how they operate because this can affect production costs, particularly for those who, let's say, rely on credits from banks to purchase their inputs such as seeds or fertilizers. So when it goes up, when there's a higher repo rate, it leads to interest rates on loans, and this will, of course, have an impact on production. So it's something that has to actually be followed up at all times because it is constantly changing. But recently, there were new statistics which were released under the Reserve Bank, which are quite recent.
You've explained how the repo rate will affect the production costs, but maybe... Yes. You can explain what is considered a high repo rate and what is a low repo rate, and how does that affect profitability?
one would assume it's more profitable when the repo rate is low. You know, farmers can get more money, more cash flow out of it.
Let's say you're a farmer and let's say you rely on credit from the banks to purchase fertilizer, seeds and all of those things. Let's say it's a 3.5, the repo rate is low. You get a loan of 50,000. It will have an interest rate of 5.5, resulting maybe in you paying 900 rand a month. If the repo rate increases from that 3.5 that I stated to 4.5, your interest rate also might increase maybe to 7%. And this will make your monthly repayment to be higher than the current you have had at 3.5. And when you have a monthly repayment, which is higher as a farmer, let's say in terms of your production, this will obviously increase your production costs. And when you increase your production costs, like any other business, you'll have to reduce spending in other aspects. For example, maybe if you see that costs are being high in fertilizer and seeds, you will have to reduce spending in other aspects of your farm, maybe for pesticides or any other inputs. So the reason it affects production costs is because when it's high, it actually hits hard on the pocket and makes maybe your monthly repayments to be quite high than it will normally be. This is primarily especially for those who rely on credit purchase to acquire some of these inputs for production. One of the questions he did ask was high repo rate and the low repo rate to say, once again, a high repo rate can negatively impact your profitability as a farmer and also your cash flow. And this is important to note because higher interest rates on loans, they reduce profit margins for farmers. And it's going to be challenging to be able to sustain your business when your profits are actually reduced, as you stated earlier. And in contrast, when there's a lower repo rate, it can also maybe lead to lower interest rates. This sort of increases the farmer's profitability and you sort of have a better cash flow. I could make an example to say, let's say you borrow 200,000 from a bank at an interest rate, which is at 6%. Let's say it's a repo rate of 3.5 and your monthly repayment, let's say it's 2,000. And then after a good harvest, the farmer might have a profit of 50,000. And then in the second scenario, it will be to say, when you borrow the same amount of 200,000, but at a higher interest rate at 9%, let's say the repo rate is at 5.5, your monthly repayment will increase, let's say, to 3,000. And with that same harvest, your profits will decrease to 30,000 because of higher interest rates. So you are actually in business, but your profits are quite low because you are being hit hard in terms of your spending and interest rates and paying back such debts and loans.
What advice do you have on making investment decisions with changing repo rates?
The most ideal and basic thing is for farmers to actually be monitoring repo rates changes and also to adjust their investment strategically according to what's happening. For example, when it gets better, the repo rate, you know that, okay, I might have to be more adventurous in my spendings, but when it gets more difficult, you might have to be more careful when you're spending. And secondly, it's quite important for any farmer to be able to diversify their investments and not put all their eggs in one basket. This actually helps them to be able to minimize some of the risks that are associated with interest rate fluctuations. And it's also important, as a third point, to keep an eye on inflation rates because inflation rates can impact interest rates and your investments. But most importantly, I think it's being able to monitor these repo rate changes to also monitor such inflation rates and pay attention to what is happening because knowledge of such measures can actually be able to be an eye-opener for most farmers.
How frequently does the repo rate change? Maybe in the time frame of a year, how frequently does it change? This year it's been twice.
I think it's been twice, but most of the farmers, fortunately, there are reports which are constantly there, which keep an eye on inflation rates. From SA, the Reserve Bank also does publish quarterly reports, and also different organizations in the agricultural sector and even outside the agricultural sector, they do provide information on such changes. They actually go in depth to explain the factors that affect the inflation rates, and also through this podcast actually engages farmers to be on such. So in my perspective, any good farmer will actually be on the ground to always read reports, be it weekly, monthly, or quarterly, to understand, because some of these changes, when they take place, it's not because there's something new, but it is because they've actually been ongoing at a smaller scale. So when a farmer has his eye on the ground and is constantly having information, reading, and trying to monitor what's happening around their environment, it becomes more better for them to actually follow up on issues and be able to sort of adjust and plan accordingly in terms of their investments.
So, you know, our repo rates and just the macroeconomics of the country in general is very susceptible to the political state of the country and international relations. In the case where the repo rate does increase, what is your advice to minimize the negative effects of that? For example, we look at our neighboring country like Zimbabwe, we're very high. The repo rate, God forbid that doesn't happen in South Africa, but should the interest rate drastically increase, what would your advice be?
I'll assume that you're asking me about maybe the practical steps for people who would be emerging farmers to stay. What advice can I share with them, you know? Because most of the time, it is usually the emerging farmers, young farmers, who may not actually have sufficient knowledge about some of these matters. But to be able to shield themselves from negative effects of such interest rates, firstly, they must be able to develop robust financial plans. That would include them having clear budgeting and cash flow management, which is key to any agricultural enterprise. I mean, as small-scale farmers or as a emerging farmer, if you have a clear cash flow management, it will be easier for you to adapt, to strategically find yourself in a position where you know what is happening. So having a financial plan, which includes budgeting and cash flow management, is key. Secondly, I would say it's that as emerging farmers, maybe they might also have to explore alternative funding options from the government or from crowdfunding or community-supported agricultural programs to actually keep their funding options open. Thirdly, for any good farmer, it is always key to improve their farm efficiency and productivity to be able to reduce their reliance on credit. If you are a farmer and this year you are starting, in 5 years' time, you must be able to have a higher efficiency than you had from the previous years and not be stagnant. And this is key to you being able to actually reduce your reliance on credit, because once the whole farm or the whole business relies on credit, then you're most likely to be more exposed to such interest rates and be affected most of the time. Lastly, I will say from my experience, most farmers, especially small-scale farmers, who form cooperatives or who are part of partnership with other farmers, they tend to share resources such as, let's say, tractors, equipment, and all of those things. And it also reduces costs for them. Being part of those cooperatives actually shares the burden for most of the farmers, especially those who are emerging. I'll make another example. Let's say if you were a farmer yourself and you have a strong financial plan, you can manage your cash flow, you can budget properly, you are also aware of alternative funding options, and let's say you also have an improved efficiency and productivity in your farm, and let's say you are actually part of a cooperative with other farmers and share resources, you are more likely to be able to overcome most of these challenges that are related to finances. So as a way, I think emerging farmers, young farmers, small-scale farmers, would actually do better by having these robust financial plans, keeping your cash flow proper, exploring funding options, having an efficient and productive farm, and also considering working with other farmers to share resources and also reduce costs.
Those are valuable points that you've given. Are there any opportunities for farmers when the repo rate decreases, and how can they take advantage of the decreased repo rates, for example, the one that we've just had this past week?
That's a brilliant question, because this is actually an opportunity for farmers. Like I stated, if a farmer who is quite well organized in terms of strategy and being able to plan the things, you can take advantage of the current situation by being able to invest in new equipment such as tractors or any farm equipment or technology to be able to improve the efficiency of your farm, to be able to be more productive, because at the end of the day, a farm has to be productive so as to be able to actually give good profits and be profitable, because a farm is like any other business. And secondly, there are opportunities to actually expand their businesses, or farmers to explore new markets, and also to refinance their existing loans and take advantage of the current lower interest rates. In as much as we stated earlier, I think that such things are always fluctuating, determined by various factors. But if you've got lower interest rates, we definitely can take advantage of such by maybe if you have existing loans, refinancing them and working around them. But also, last but not least, they can build up their savings or emergency funds to be able to actually deal with economic storms that can take place, because as a farmer, you do not only think about the current season or the current markets, but you are quite visionary to look at the 10 or 20 years to come. So they also can save up for the emergency funds. I mean, if a farmer wants to take advantage, let's say, of this decrease in repo rates, one can, as I stated, invest in equipment, or maybe tractors, or so that you can improve productivity, you can expand and increase your yields, you can refinance your loans, and you can be able to do all of those things. So there are advantages from a decreasing repo rates compared to an increasing one. There's a lot that farmers can benefit from. But these four particular things that I stated about investing in equipment or technology, it will be able to benefit them through an increased productivity. And they can also consider expanding and exploring markets, refinancing loans, and actually building up their savings or emergency funds, because the future is quite uncertain.
I love that you're important. I have a bonus question for you, because you're an economist at the National Agricultural Marketing Council. How do you see farming investment activities unfolding going into the new year, into 2025?
Your question is more of a good question, because it sort of rounds up everything we discussed. And I will say that this is quite optimistic. There's quite hope that the upcoming season 2025 will be good. There are a lot of indicators of such, like you indicated, from the CPI, which was released a few weeks back. And also you stated about the decrease in repo rates. There is optimism for farmers in the upcoming year, in as much as there will always be challenges within the sector for the same farmers. But I think the manner in which things are unfolding, we can only be optimistic, because there are a lot of green flags and green lights for the financial future.
Thank you so much, Sibusiso Dube, agricultural economist at the National Agriculture Marketing Council. For more information on this topic, please visit www.foodforumzansi.co.za. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. From me, Patricia Timbo, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag team of Food for Mzansi, thank you for listening.